We want to welcome you to the New Song Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Colorado Springs. We love receiving your prayer requests and comments at newsongcs.com. Thanks for listening as Pastor Stephen Hibden shares an encouraging word of God's love.
We are celebrating something that happened 7 days before Jesus rose from the dead, and that is Palm Sunday. And if you know me, you know how much I love this time of year. And you cannot miss a day like this without talking about it, because there's so much application to our life. And I hope that I don't get too applicable in this. I have a little area of application, and this week I have like all this stuff that I know that God wants to speak to us just through this story. We're highlighting people around the passion of Christ, and we're looking at the people not that helped Jesus or seemed to help, but those that seemingly interrupted him and got him, tried to get him off the path to his redemption. He was on a road on the city gates, but he had another plan to march down the road to Golgotha. And people were trying to interrupt him. And the reason I want to talk about them is because I feel like I interrupt the path to redemption at times myself. And I'm sure you do as well. But the thing is, the point I want to make is that none of our interruptions ever get God off track. Nothing comes by surprise to him. Uh-oh, the people are cheering for me when I come into the town. This is not the way I wanted it to work. No, he used it all. He used Peter. He used Judas. He used Barabbas. He even used, as we talked about last week, the criminals that were on the cross. He used them to teach us about why he was literally doing what he was doing at that very moment. And he does the same today in our lives. He takes Eddie's brokenness and he makes him whole. He takes our sin and he gives us forgiveness. He takes our mistakes and he trades them. Not a good trade. We're going to talk about a really great trade next week, but not a really good trade. But I'll take your sin, my friend. And do you know what I'm going to give you in place of it? Is jack squat, because it's not worth anything. No, he gives back. He trades the sin and he gives us grace. That's what Jesus does for us. That's why we come to church. That's why we like coming to church. That's why we celebrate. That's why it's good news, because he takes our sin and he gives us grace. It's not fair, is it, Anna? It's not fair. I know you're smiling. I hope you're smiling, because, or maybe you just said a joke or something, but I'm just saying, it's not fair, is it? I'm just playing with you. 2 weeks ago, I called the message Villains of Victory. Last week, we talked about Barabbas, and then last week, we talked about the criminals on the cross, and I called it Criminals on the Cross. Today, I want to entitle this message, if you're taking notes, Crowding Christ, as we look at the people at the gates of Jerusalem and how they tried to interrupt the way God would bring freedom to us all. Would you pray, Lord? Would you pray with me? Thank you, God, for your son, Jesus. Thank you for this week that we are going into, where we're going to be celebrating a day called Good Friday that doesn't seem very good, but we know that it was for a better purpose. Lord, we thank you that you are going to speak to us today. And I pray that every person in the room would open up their ears. And I pray that you would speak through me to those here today, that we would hear from the Holy Spirit today, that we would hear a word for us. Maybe we would say, well, I don't know how this story would apply to me. Let your word speak to us and come alive in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. This week is exciting. We're going to have a Good Friday service in this room. This week, we're going to light candles, and it's going to be a time of remembrance, a time of meditation. It's going to be a really special time together. I remember growing up that we celebrated this every year, and it's a really great time to bring a friend or just come yourself. We hope you can come. And then the next day is our Easter egg hunt. It's one of our biggest outreaches to our community. We're going to have 10,000 candy-filled Easter eggs, and it's going to be a great time. We're going to have cotton candy. We're going to have Rizzuto's ice cream truck. We're going to have the Easter Bunny, I heard, is coming to our church. I don't know why he'd pick ours, but the Easter Bunny decided to come to ours. So come on Saturday. If you'd like to help, come early. Come at 9 and join the fun. We're going to have a great time. It's going to just be till noon, and then we'll be out of here. It'll be a great time. And then Wednesday, we're filling eggs because this last week, as what normally happens in the springtime, it snowed, so we couldn't fill our eggs yet. So come on Wednesday if you like. We're going to have pizza. We're going to fill eggs. We're going to get saved. It's going to be great. Have you ever gotten the chance to see a famous person before? Anyone in the raise your hand? Oh, wow, isn't that so impressive, right? Yes. Well, I lived in, my family and I, we had the opportunity often, we lived in L.A. and Orange County, to see famous people at different places. And whether it be at Starbucks or at a movie premiere, you'd know when they were coming, you know which movie theater was going to be at, you'd go and watch them. And you always knew that there was someone really famous there. The more famous, the more the crowds would come. And they would get excited, and they'd get out their phones, and they'd take video, and you'd start to hear chatter, and you'd be like, who is it? I don't know who it is. Someone's here. And if the movie star or the person was okay with it, if they started reacting nicely to the crowd, you might hear them ask for autographs, and then their bodyguards or police would come and kind of push you away. Because the thing is, when there's something that you can get in a crowd, selfishness starts to happen and it starts to kind of be chaotic. A crowd can become chaotic when there's someone famous around. And it seems that crowds take on a mind of their own when they see they can benefit from a situation. Do you know where I'm going? It kind of reminds me of the city gates of Jerusalem. I wasn't there that day. But I assume that it was probably kind of chaotic because the people had heard, there's a guy coming to Jerusalem today. It's the same guy who raised Lazarus from the dead. We got to get a glimpse of him. Maybe we can touch him. Maybe we're sick and we just need a healing. Maybe if we just get close, something will happen. They were seemingly interrupting Jesus' purpose on this road, but Jesus really was interrupting their paradigm. A brief backstory why the people would be excited for Jesus to enter Jerusalem was that they had this ruler in Rome. It was one of the meanest guys they'd ever experienced. It was something like what would be to come for these poor chosen people in Hitler. The kind of guy this man was, the cruel things he would do. And it was similar to a ruler they had thousands of years before named Pharaoh in Egypt. And it seemed to keep happening to them. And they had started to study the scriptures, they would study the prophecies, and they interpreted that perhaps this guy that was coming, they recognized him as maybe a deliverer, maybe something like Moses, maybe like David. Jesus might be this one. And they weren't too far off on their assumptions. They just were a little bit confused at their expectations. Sometimes, though, not too far off is too far off. Sometimes not too far off can become a cult. And these people started to wave their palm branches, and they wanted a leader, like I said earlier, who would overthrow a government. And instead, they got the Lord who wanted to overhaul their humanity. And they wanted they had the right guy. They had the right idea, but their screenplay was like messed up. And I want to just look at the true story, the real script, and it's found in Matthew chapter 21. And you can read with me. It'll be on the screen. Matthew 21, verse 7 through 11, in the NIV version. This is the true story that he would be victorious. Jesus would bring them victory. It was just in a different way. They brought the donkey and the colt. We could talk about that, but I don't have time right now. And placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted something they had a song they had they had quoted from the Old Testament, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, which some translate as saying, save us, save us. We're in bad shape right now. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Similar to what they said, the angels said about the same Jesus when he was born, right? Hosanna in the highest. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is it? Who is it? Is it someone famous? And the crowds answered. They were kind of right, but kind of not. They said, this is Jesus. He's the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Maybe he's just the teacher. Maybe as someone would say today, who is Jesus? But the people still wanted to get close. Imagine it. Thousands of people in town for a holiday called Passover. That was what they would be celebrating. Many had brought their palm branches. It's an object lesson today. I don't know if they look like this. I ordered these palm branches from a local florist, and these don't look like the palm branches in California, and they probably don't look like the palm branches they had that day. They might have been much bigger. But they brought their palm branches, and I've even read that they brought them from other places to town because they brought the palm branches because they were going to be celebrating the festival of Passover. They were going to be dancing. They liked to dance. They liked to do traditional things. And even at that time in Jerusalem, I've read that maybe it wasn't even the right season for palms. They couldn't get them from there. They brought them from other places. I don't know if that's true or not, but I've read that... read this, so they would have to bring them from miles away. But the very palm branches, this is the point I wanted to make, the very palm branches they waved in celebration, remembering Passover, little did they know that they would be waving them over the lamb that would allow Passover to take on a whole new meaning in Jesus of our sin being passed over. I think that's good right there. If the collection of people that were crowding Christ could only understand, there was a much bigger purpose at work here. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever prayed a prayer for God to do something only to realize after the situation was over that you wished you just didn't understand? You prayed something that you didn't understand. If you knew what God was really up to in the situation, you wouldn't have prayed the way you did. Jesus was up to something at this point. And I can imagine the prayers that were happening in this city. They were praying for things they had no idea. I imagine it could have been something like, oh Lord, we're so thankful that you brought Jesus because he's gonna help us with our taxes. He's gonna help my business. And Jesus might want to help their business, but it was for something so much more important. I've heard it said that when we think God doesn't answer our prayers, we have the wrong perspective. Or maybe when he doesn't answer your prayer, he answered it, he just answered it no with what you asked. I remember praying, oh God, let this girl be the right girl for me. The person God ordained, the perfect person for me, was right under my nose. Her name was Cynthia. But I was praying, oh, let this girl be right for me. It would be so perfect for my family because my brother likes the girl's sister, and it would just let it work. And sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers. Thankfully, he didn't in my case because I found the right girl. God doesn't answer our prayers sometimes because we have the wrong perspective. And this crowd who gathered in Jerusalem had high hopes of what they wanted Jesus to be. Some of their prayers were more serious than others, but they all wanted a ruler to fix their existing situation, and Jesus came to fulfill eternity's salvation. Something so much more expansive, and I want to ask you a question today. I'm going to ask you a lot of questions. You don't have to raise your hand to any of them, but just ask it to yourself. How many of us like to think we know what God is up to, but like in this case, we have no idea? I'm glad Jesus didn't give in to those people that day. I mean, he could have. You could look at this as the ultimate, the moment the climax of Jesus' ministry right here. The people, everything seemed to be working together. It seemed like the perfect moment, because after this moment, if you just look at it for face value, it went down. I mean, his popularity was over with. His percentage with the people was nothing. After this day, he should have taken advantage of this moment. But Jesus knew that he must. And Elijah, this is what we were talking about the other day. Are you ready? Ready? Jesus knew that he must abandon their applause. Uh-oh, I might have said it wrong. We were talking earlier, and I told him, you got to hear this. Oh, I did. No, I didn't. Jesus knew that he must abandon their applause because he did not want to abandon us. He knew he had us in mind, the situation. I wonder how many of us here have ever thought the best moments were the ones where people were saying, oh, good job, congratulations, way to go, you're awesome, you're amazing. That was the best moment of my life. I wonder if we thought that. And I wonder how often we've assumed our successes and our importance was found in the moments when people were telling us we were great. But instead, maybe our significance would really be found in our toughest moments. And I want to say to someone today, it may not be those easy moments where God is speaking. God is talking to someone today and saying this, I'm with you in those tough moments. This is exactly where you will discover the significance that you're looking for, the calling that you have. Something that may define your future may not happen in those moments where everyone's, oh, you're the best, you're great, oh, you're awesome. It might be in those moments when no one's around, when Jesus was on the cross. I wonder if any of us have ever traded in a defining moment for something easier to do. Maybe it's with your job. Maybe it's with a relationship. It was easier to do something, and you traded in, or you're considering trading in a moment where God might be defining you for something easier. Maybe it had to do with a situation that caused you to lose some friends. Maybe you're in the middle of something right now that if you choose the more difficult road, you might lose the crowd that's around you. Maybe you have a decision to make that may entail compromise of some kind. God is calling you towards him, away from the crowds at times. And we think, oh, I'm going to look to success or this. And none of that is wrong. But if it crowds out Christ, then we got a problem. John 3:30, Jesus was saying, I must be great and you must be nothing. No, he said, I must decrease. That is my goal. It's not about me increasing. I must decrease. I must get lower. The lower I get, God will increase. God, people will see his glory. I've had my share of choosing the crowd over harder things, and I'm sure you have too. This was one of those moments for Jesus. He was tempted by what was easiest to do, taking the cheers, taking the celebration, versus what was more important. I'm here to save mankind. Jesus knew who they wanted him to be, would interrupt him from becoming who they needed him to be in their lives. Jesus kept his eye on the Father's will. Notice in verse 10 through 11, notice who the crowd interpreted him to be. I said it earlier. It said that people were asking, who is this guy? And the people said, oh, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. I would say, thankfully, Jesus didn't just come to be the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Do you know how boring that would be for us today, 2,000 years later, to be trying to celebrate Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Yes, he was that. But Jesus was much more than that. Jesus was God's son who came to earth, died on a cross, and rose from the dead. He is the Lord of lords. He is the King of kings. The people did not understand. And I'm so glad Jesus didn't just give in to this in their life. Could I have some music? And we're going to close with a number of things today. A number of questions. He didn't let their misinterpreted parade interrupt him from his purpose. Instead, he used it to play into his plan. This story is kind of poetic, and you may see in the way that I'm talking today, I'm not a rapper or a poet, but I can't help but enjoy the story and say it how I see it. And some of these phrases might be like, seriously, it's so touching. And at this point, I guess I should be asking this question to some of you, and that is this: are you wondering why prayers haven't been answered in your life? Don't go there. Don't ask me that question. Are you doubting God's timing on something in your life? I wanted to spend a lot of time with this ministry time because God wants to deal with a number of things. But I know that the people, if they were looking at timing, if they were looking at answers, it was looking right on Sunday. But then on Monday, when Jesus, I don't know if it was Monday, when he went into the church, he didn't go to the sinners. Well, he did. He went to the sinners. They were in the church. I think these are tied together, so I can't do it. But he knocked down their tables. He knocked down their place of worship. He knocked over their pulpits. He messed up their keyboards. Because he was not happy with the people. And I'm sure at this point they're like, okay, he was answering my prayers. He was coming to town. He would be the new David. This is Jerusalem, the city of David. How perfect. But now, this is not the way you gain popularity. This is not the way. But Jesus' purpose was different. He was so tired of cliche. He was so tired of surface. He wanted the people's hearts to be changed. And he knew he couldn't do it just through knocking over their stuff in the church. He knew he was going to have to do more. He was meant for more than walking through the entrance to Jerusalem. He was to march down the road to Calvary. But the people tried to crowd Christ. And I want to ask you this: do we crowd Christ and his plan for us in our lives? Nope. Not me. I don't crowd Christ. I never would crowd Christ. Do what you will. I surrender all. And then we go about our Monday. We go about our church time. And if Jesus was to come into our church, would he? We celebrate Palm Sunday. Should we celebrate the day he destroyed the church, knocked it over? Because I bet you he would look at some of our hearts and knock them over and say, uh-uh. This is not the way you worship me. Your heart, you're worshiping with your hands, but your heart is far from me. I say it with a smile. Everyone in the room, smile today. It's not a condemning message because Jesus came to redeem. This message is not about an event that God erupted. It's about Jesus interrupting us and our pursuits. Coming into the gates of our hearts, so to speak, that are anxious, that are worried, that are fearful, that are doubtful, and coming in and saying, I am coming to bring you victory. Maybe not the way you expect, but do you trust me? Do you trust me? I got this. It's a narrative about Jesus addressing me, my unmet expectations. I don't know if anyone ever has something that doesn't turn out the way you want. It's a narrative about addressing our anxiousness, our small thinking, our wrong perspective. Well, you didn't do it the way I wanted, God. Hey, I know what I'm doing. I think he would say to us, wave your palm branches, but wave them for the right reasons. Don't jump to conclusions. Some of you, God's speaking to you about something. Don't jump to conclusions about what he's speaking to you. Oh, okay, I got this. I kind of heard the first part. I know what you're calling me to do this. Yeah, I'll do it. No, listen. He's calling you to do something, and maybe it's something you've never heard before. Maybe it's something he's never called anyone else to do before. Maybe it's something new. Maybe he wants you to sing a new song with your life. On this Palm Sunday, can you, like Jesus, remember who you are? Pursue what he's called you to do. You know, because Jesus knew who he was. That's why he couldn't give in to the crowd. We'll give in to the crowd all the time. We'll give in to our friends. We'll give in to temptation. We'll give in to following the peer pressure. We'll give in to anxiousness. We'll give in to worry because we don't know who we are. We're like, oh, I don't know. God, will you heal me? I don't know. Oh, I give in to, I'm going to just worry instead. Jesus knew who he was. He did not give in to, oh, Hosanna, save us right now. He did not give in to it because he knew who he was. He was the Son of God. There's no difference. There's no difference with us. You're calling me God? Am I a God? Are we all gods? Do we have a God? Are we little gods? No. We have God inside of us. It's called his spirit. It's the same spirit that when they did kill Jesus, it raised him from the dead. The spirit that was in him raised him up from death for 3 days. It's the same spirit that is in us. If you know who you are, if you know who you are, you won't give in. Don't follow the cheers. Do the hard things. Don't trade a defining moment for what is easier to do. Love Christ more than the crowd. We're not finished here today, but I want you to look in your heart. Search it. Search me, O God, and know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked in me. That's what David said. Could we do that ourselves? Lord, we take a moment right now. And we're so thankful. We're so thankful for you coming into our hearts, coming into the gates of our hearts. We say, save us. We say, save us with our lips, but with our actions at times. And yes, there's forgiveness, and yes, there's love. Oh, so much love. If you would love the criminal on the cross right before he dies, you told him he can come to heaven with you, then you probably can love us. But, oh God, we're so... just messed up in some of the ways that we do things. And I want to prophesy over you today, and I don't want you to raise your hand at each of these questions. But are you here today and you crowd Christ out of your life? I'm going to give you the answer so you don't have to think about it. Yes, you do. We all crowd Christ. We all keep Jesus from some areas of our lives. And Jesus only wants to bring victory. He's only in it for God's glory. He's only in it to help us. Would you surrender to him? Someone here today is in these categories. Sin or an addiction of some kind is crowding Christ out of your life today. Oh, don't call me out, Pastor. Do not bring me to the front. I'm not. But man of God, woman of God, is sin in your life? Is addiction causing you to crowd him out? And you're wondering why you can't experience the joy he's brought to you? Well, it's because you need to get rid of it. You need to let it go. In the next series, we're going to talk about some ways to show God in our lives. But at times, he doesn't show up. And someone here today, fear of stepping out is crowding Christ out of your life. A fear of, maybe it's a fear of failure. Maybe it's a fear of disappointment. But he's asking you to step out. He's asking you to step out and do something. He's called you to something. It could be unusual. It's not sinful, so don't go that far. But he's calling you to do something. But fear is causing you to crowd him out. Is that you today? Tell him today, I'm going to take the next step. I'll step out. Doubt that God is at work in the situation is crowding Christ out of someone's life today. You're doubting that God, you're at work. It looks like you're not. It looks like what I expected you to do didn't come to pass. Are you really at work? I doubt that. I doubt. I mean, look at the people in my church. They have all kinds of problems. Yes, you're right. We all have all kinds of problems. But you don't doubt that God is at work, because he is. He does things. Maybe that's crowding him out. Two more. Your unanswered prayer or your unmet expectation is crowding him out. Maybe it's causing you to be bitter. Maybe it's causing you to compare yourself with someone else. Well, I'll never be like them. Christ is like, I just know who you are. You are a child of me. You are a forgiven. You can do things. Just stop discounting. Stop comparing. Your prideful longing for popularity. I feel like that was like so last year for me. 1985, right? Popularity. But we all want to have a little, as adults, we call it status. I guess there's teenagers in the room. You know, there's worse things than not being popular. Do you know that? My entire life, I was the biggest nerd in high school. And I always wanted to be that guy. I never was that guy. But when you know who you are, it doesn't matter. Your prideful longing for popularity. For adults, it's sometimes status. Well, I want to be like them. Or riches. Or the nicest house. Maybe it's crowding out Christ's plan for you today. None of those are wrong in themselves. But if they crowd them out, it is. And then lastly, laziness. Laziness can crowd Christ out of our lives. Complacency. And that's what religious people do the best. You can open your eyes. Religious people are complacent. We like to, just do the bare minimum. And then just as long as I make it to heaven. And Jesus has said no. Would you stand with me? This is what Jesus said. Read the scripture with me. Luke 9:23. I want you all read it with me out loud. If you'd rather not, then you stay quiet. But those that want this in your life, read it with me. It says this. Jesus didn't call us to be complacent or lazy. Jesus called us to do this. Then he said to them all, everybody together, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. Oh, I don't like this. And take up their cross daily and follow me. Read it again. Let's go back to it again. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. He also said in Philippians, Paul said it, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Would you close your eyes with me? And would you say your prayer to God, whatever it might be? But in some way say to him, I need to die to some of the things in my life that keep you out. Because when I die, I live. It doesn't make sense. I know. When you give, you receive. Doesn't make sense, but it's true. If you're here in this place and you would relate to anything that was said in this story, there would be something that would apply to your life. Would you just raise your hand and say, I need to serve Jesus better? Would you just raise it up? I need to not crowd Christ out of certain areas. Hands all over the room. Almost all of us should have something unless you're perfect. You can lead a seminar later. How to do it the right way. I need it. I'll come to it. You can put your hands down. Lord, you see our hearts. That's a good thing and it's a bad thing. And as we celebrate today, you coming into Jerusalem, come into our hearts. Clean them out. I declare to you, it's all about you. Would you tell them that? It's all about you, God. It's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's not about my desires, my hopes, because I know that your hopes for me are so much better. You know those sermons where they say, everything will be perfect. Just give your heart to Jesus right now. There's nothing wrong with those people that say that, except that nothing is perfect after you give your life to Jesus. It's hell. It's crucified Christ in me. It's dying. Every day it's denying. It's taking up my cross on Monday when I'd rather be at church on Sunday feeling goosebumps because God loves me. It's not easy. But Lord, we are not in this to please the crowd. I wrote down this prayer. I'm going to pray it with you. We're not in it to please ourselves. We only want to follow you. We repent, which means we turn. We repent of our crowding Christ out of our lives. Whatever you've called us to do, we say, Hosanna, save us. Let us be crucified. Oh, I don't like to pray this, but let us be crucified with you so that people can see our life, your life in us. We must decrease so that you can increase in our lives. And we declare that we'll trust your ways and submit to your will. Would you say that? I declare today, and this is the last thing you'll have to do. I declare today that I trust your ways and I submit to your will. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening today. Remember, God wants to do the impossible through you and me. We encourage you to become a deeper part of what we are doing. Visit us at newsongcs.com and become a giver to the New Song Foundation and an investor in bringing this message of Jesus across the world. God bless you.